direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio today. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. As always, thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Today we are concluding our study in John chapter 7. And we're coming back and looking at the end of this powerful section where Jesus is confronting unbelief. And what's happening here is that Jesus is confronting the people's wrong conceptions about him. As I was studying for John 7, I was really moved again by what is the problem in this text. It's this little statement that the officers make about Jesus Christ. They say, "No man has ever spoke like this man." Everything about him, his message, his authority, his boldness, offset him so much that the people are just baffled at everything about him. And he commanded with fear, with no fear, people's lives, to the point that he himself became a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. I would suggest to you, part of the ministry of the gospel is to bring that offense. There's a reason Hebrews says to us, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." You know how powerful the word is? When it's properly delivered, it's doing something in you. It actually, dear listener, is raising out of the heart the issues of life. When it's properly confronting your life, when it's properly being preached to you, it's raising to the forefront things and responses that we never dreamed of. That's how powerful the Word of God is. It's like flames of fire the Lord uses to discern the true reality of the heart that we are so good at covering. And that's why you can know whether you've heard the Word of God. Listen, important point today. If you can walk away from hearing the Word preached and didn't know what was really being said to you, or came out saying, as I so often hear, "Well, that was a nice sermon." Listen, it was not delivered in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Because God-evidenced preaching always drives the listener to a response. You can't remain neutral. It is powerful, commanding your life. Anyone who says that was a nice sermon or doesn't know what was really said did not hear the living, powerful word of God delivered in the demonstration of the Spirit. That, here in John chapter 7, is being shown to us. Jesus is preaching and people are being driven to a response. Listen to John 7, verse 40. "Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying," now he had just said, "He who believes in me, he who comes to me," remember he gave the call. "On the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' It was delivered in such power." We read, "Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, 'Truly, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was?' So there was a division among the people because of him." The officers are then questioned, and this is how they answer. "No man ever spoke like this man." Authority. His preaching was with power. The people, after even the Sermon on the Mount, we read, they were blown out of their minds. They were astonished at his teaching. Because why? He did not speak as the scribes and the Pharisees. No, Jesus spoke as one having authority. That's a crucial point. Authority. It's not about a guy up there giving you nice suggestions. The guy sent by the Lord, the man sent to preach his gospel, comes with the authority of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is showing us here what happens when that authority is given. Jesus is making strong claims to his divinity. And in the midst of this, there is just mass confusion. The religious leaders are raging against him. And today we see that rage hit a new level. The masses are being so pressed that they are being forced to decide either for him or against him. And here's the real shocker of it all. What is it that has caused this division? We'll talk about that this week, that Jesus brings division. It's Jesus's absolute claim that he is the light of the world, the only salvation, and what we do with that truth has everything to do with where we're going eternally, where our eternal destiny is. Jesus's claims here that he's the only way, truth, and life, that you must come to him to live, that you must drink of his water, that you must be saved by his blood. What you do with those calls, even now as you hear it over the radio, has everything to do with your eternal destiny. That's why it's so important to study this, so that we would know what true faith is. Remember John's point and the whole goal of his gospel. These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you may have life in his name. So let's look at this today and the rest of this week. Now, remember the problem of John 7. No one's conception about who the Messiah would be or where he would come from or how he would speak is fitting with what this Jesus is saying and doing. What has happened in Jerusalem is just mass confusion with regard to who this is, and especially his origin. As we studied how all of their preconceived ideas of him caused them to have blinders on when they heard his word. Two things are happening before us today in John 7 and 8. Very powerful. Jesus says something glorious about himself, and then come a series of responses to these claims. There are two of these great claims over people's lives that we're studying here and the response that follows. Well, in verse 39, this is what Jesus' great claim was. This is what he said. This was his call. On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now remember the scene. He's crying this out on the last day of the feast. As he is saying this, they are drawing out water from the pool of Siloam. On each day of the feast, the priest would take a golden pitcher and fill it with water from the pool. There would be a great solemn procession. Trumpets would be blown as water is being poured out through a funnel to the base of the altar. And in the midst of this, Jesus is crying out, "Come to me, and I will satisfy your thirst. I will give you life." It's going to quench what is deep within you, what's deep within your heart, the desire of your heart. Now, remember the problem. Calvin summarizes this well. Until we establish complete happiness in Jesus Christ, we will never give ourselves truly and sincerely to him. Now, from this beautiful call to the thirsty, what happens? Verse 40. "Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, 'This is the prophet.' Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? Did you notice in verse 40 the connection to the therefore? All these people are standing there watching water being poured out, last day of the feast. Jesus is crying out with a loud voice, come to me and drink. They've witnessed his signs. His fame is all throughout the region. He stands there saying, the water you're commemorating. Remember, that water was a commemoration from Exodus, the water when the rock was struck and it poured out and gave the Israelites drink in the wilderness. Jesus is standing up saying, I'm that rock. Remember, Paul calls him that rock in 1 Corinthians 10 that they drank out of. I'm that rock that if you will drink my water, out of your hearts will come that kind of bursting satisfaction. Do you hear that, dear sinner? Jesus satisfies the longings of the heart only. They heard that. And what's happened? You have something amazing shown to you in John 7. Three groups are highlighted. You have the convinced, you have the confused, and then you have the contrary. Three different kinds of responses to Jesus' call to come to him. That's what we're unpacking this week. You really have to get into the minds of people here. Some heard Jesus say that, and what are they thinking? Who speaks like this? They were so convinced in their minds, they're saying, this has got to be the prophet. Remember, God had promised to Moses to send the prophet. Others are saying, this is the Christ. Do you see what's happening? In the previous verses, John tells us that when Jesus said this about the water flowing out of the heart, he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. You see what's happening? Jesus' calls are so powerful, so effective, so wooing. There are those believing. There are those drawing right conclusions about Jesus. And once the Spirit has come, that faith in them will be bright, illustrious, and confident, as we see Peter at Pentecost. But I believe something really comforting is shown too here. Amidst all the unbelief, remember what Jesus said in Luke 17. But first, Jesus must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. This is Israel. By and large, this entire generation you study in the Gospels is rejecting him. But what's being shown to you in John 7? There's always a remnant. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is showing us that the church will be small. The truth will never be popular. Be careful of all these churches that claim so many numbers and have so much influence, they think. The truth is not popular. As a matter of fact, it's greatly offensive. That's what we're going to unpack this week. Jesus experienced this. By and large, the entire Jewish nation rejected her Messiah because of the truth that he spoke. But Jesus always has a remnant. There are always those who hear the word, who when it confronts their lives, they see their sin, and they turn with their hearts to come to the living water that only Jesus Christ can give. Dear radio listener, have you rejected him? Or have you come to him? He is living water for your soul. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Love to have you for worship, 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.